Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Taz Powers. Unfortunately, Paula is away this morning, but will return next week. Please keep her family in your prayers. Over this last week, I purchased a GPS to assist me in arriving at my travel destination this weekend without a lot of mistakes on my journey. Our guest is Greg Braden this morning, and Greg, I feel you're like a GPS keeping us on track and in touch with what is possible as you remind us to really listen to our inner heart song with the capability of rewriting our genetic codes. Today with us, a New York Times best-selling author, Greg Braden. He is internationally renowned as a pioneer in bridging science and spirituality. His ability to find innovative solutions to complex problems led to successful careers as a computer geologist for Phillips Petroleum during the 1970s energy crisis, and in the 1980s as a senior computer systems designer for Martin Marietta Aerospace during the last years of the Cold War. And in 1991, he became the first technical operations manager for the network innovator Cisco Systems, where he led the development of the global support team that assures the reliability of today's internet. Global crisis of the late 20th century inspired him to leave the corporations and begin a full-time quest for the solutions that he believes survive in the oldest records of our past. For more than 20 years, Greg has searched high mountain villages, remote monasteries, and forgotten texts to uncover their timeless secrets. To date, his work has led to such paradigm-shattering books as The Isaiah Effect, The God Code, and his newest, The Divine Matrix, Bridging Time, Space, Miracles, and Belief, now a finalist for the Best New Science Book of 2007. Greg's work is now published in 13 languages and 25 countries and shows us beyond any reasonable doubt that we have the power to reverse disease, redefining aging, and even change reality itself by embracing the focused power of human emotion as the quantum language of change. Wow. Greg, welcome. Are you with us?
Well, good morning, Taz. I'm with you, and I'm going to say good morning to Paula when she listens to this broadcast, and our prayers are certainly with both she and her husband today as well. So I am absolutely thrilled to be on your program, and I guess it's been a while since we've had a program together, so it's really good to be back and hear your voice this morning.
Well, you're going to be back in the Bay Area in Santa Cruz, to be exact, 1 week from this weekend on September 26th and 27th, along with Bruce Lipton, bringing us a powerful seminar talking about the awakening of consciousness. Again, you're striking out and you're just giving us all this wonderful information. It's so powerful, and we are so happy that you're with us.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled. First, I'm thrilled to be in the Bay Area with all of our friends there. It's far too rare that we have the opportunity to share the programs in our own backyard that we do all over the world. And secondly, my dear, dear friend and brother, Dr. Bruce Lipton, and I, we have been blessed to travel together and tour together for weeks on end in throughout Europe and Australia. Rarely do we have the opportunity, just because of schedules, to do this in the United States. So it is thanks to the vision and the dedication of Bruce's office that they said, hey, let's get these guys together in our own backyard, and they're keeping everything local. They're working through local vendors, local bookstores, local venues to bring to our friends and family the message and update everyone with what we have discovered individually and how our work melds together into a beautiful message of hope and possibility, marrying the leading edge science of today with some of our most cherished spiritual traditions. And it's a very powerful multimedia, very visual, very experiential program. We're absolutely thrilled to be able to share it.
Now, before we start, let me ask you, how did you guys really meet?
You know, Bruce and I met, we were both on the lecture circuit in the 1980s, and people kept saying to us that we looked alike, and I think what they saw was we both had unconventional hair and beards, and so they thought that was enough to make us look alike, and we we heard from one another often enough, we ought to get together, that one day the Institute of Heart Math, right there in Boulder Creek, California, facilitated a meeting between Bruce and I, and we looked in each other's eyes. We were instantly friends, and although we had known of one another's work for years prior to that. I'd followed Bruce Lipton's ideas and his work for, 10 years before that, and he'd seen my new books that had come out and the radio programs. And as different as the work appears on the outside, the link that brings us together is that we're both working to help create a better world, help us to become better people by understanding our relationship to ourselves and the world. Bruce, as a biologist, looking at the power of human emotion to change what's happening inside of our bodies, and my background, my degrees in the physical sciences, looking at the same power of human emotion to change not only what's happening inside of our bodies, but in the world that surrounds our bodies. And when you marry these two perspectives together, Taz, it's a very empowering way of seeing ourselves in the world, and it takes us out of the role of victims and into the role of powerful creators during a time that the experts tell us we are faced with the greatest challenges of over 5,000 years of human history.
So actually what we do internally does affect the outside of us.
Absolutely, and I'm going to just say to you and our listeners right now, this is no longer theory, it's no longer metaphor, it's no longer wishful thinking. This is scientific fact that our inner experiences of thought, feeling, emotion, and belief, and I'll be very specific here, when they are focused in our hearts, what our own science now is telling us is that the heart is the single organ in our bodies that creates the single most powerful electrical and biological fields, stronger than the brain, stronger than any other organ. Magnetically, the heart is over 5,000 times stronger than the magnetic fields of the brain. And all of this is important because these are the same fields that the atoms of our world and the cells of our bodies are made of. So when we learn to hone the language of our heart, when we learn to create just the right kinds of emotions and feelings within our bodies, what we now know, and it's documented in leading technical journals, is that those inner experiences have a direct effect. They literally rearrange the stuff our world is made of. They change the atoms of our physical world. And this is the great message of our, our most cherished and ancient spiritual traditions is how we create that language in our bodies.
So we're not victims. We can actually change things that are happening right now.
Well, absolutely. And the reason this is important and where Bruce and I are coming from in this program is I think people around the world sense that something different, something unique is happening in our lives right now. And it's bigger than a war in Iraq or the elections in the United States or, some of the most severe weather patterns in memory. Those are all byproducts of something that's happening here. And now our own experts, Taz, are telling us that, in fact, we are the single generation that is living the greatest number of challenges and the greatest magnitude of challenges ever faced by one generation in over 5,000 years of recorded human history.
Wow.
And we'll talk about this on the first night of our program. The experts identify these changes and these challenges, and they say that although generations of the past have certainly had their share of problems, never has a single generation had to solve so many problems at the same time just to be able to survive this time in history. Everything from the depletion of resources, the natural resources, the abrupt change in climate that includes a melting of polar ice, increase of sea levels all over the world, the very rare behavior that we're seeing in our sun and how it's affecting our world, the new diseases, 30 new diseases that we have no medical way to address right now that have cropped up in the last few years, the global economic crises. As separate as these all seem from one another, there's a common denominator to all of them, and that is that this appears to be what we can expect in the great cycles of time that are converging at the beginning of this 21st century. And once we understand what those cycles of time are all about, how they originate, what they carry in terms of human experience, then all of a sudden our time in history becomes a little less mysterious. It has a context. We know when the cycles begin, when they end, what we can expect, and we can prepare and do the things in our lives that make sense and do more of those things. And the things that maybe, you know, don't make so much sense, don't put so much energy into those any longer. And what we have just spoken about, the power of the human heart, collective human emotion, to actually influence the things that are challenging our world today are among the new discoveries that both Bruce and I will be sharing at our program. So I know we covered a lot of ground in a couple of sentences there, but I want to get that in early so we can tie into those ideas for the rest of our program today.
Are there any particular ancient ways that we should adapt for ourselves at this point?
Absolutely. The answer is yes. And this is the crux, I think, of the great messages of our past. It all begins with our understanding of great cycles of time. Taz, and our own scientists now are a little late catching up with the indigenous and the ancient world view of great cycles of time that create the history of our world and of our species. And the reason that cycles are important to understand is because the very nature of a cycle is that it repeats. And when we know that a cycle is beginning, when we know that it's ending, and when we know how long those cycles are and where we are within those cycles, it gives us an idea of what we can expect to experience physically in our environment and the world around us, as well as spiritually and emotionally. And there's a very good reason for all of these experiences that ancient and indigenous traditions understood. And I'll be specific. Some of those traditions, they range from the Mesopotamian and the Egyptian traditions to the cycles of time, certainly the Mayans, many people are familiar with, the Vedic cycles of time of ancient India, and the indigenous cycles that we speak about from the native peoples of the South Americas, as well as the North American traditions. As different as they appear to be from one another, they all carry a similar message when we get to the root of what these traditions are saying to us. And that message is that there was a memory of our ancestors from the last time they went through a great cycle completion, such as the one that we are living now. And it had such a profound effect upon them that they tried desperately to share with their future generations, people they could only imagine in their dreams. They tried desperately in temples and texts and traditions to share what these cycles of time meant to them 5,000 years ago, so that we would understand and know what it means for us today. And while the indigenous traditions have perpetuated and preserved these traditions, our own scientists now are a little slow in catching up, partially because science is so new. Science is only about 300 years old. And in science, we're not looking at these vast cycles of time that involve tens of thousands of years. So some of the most cherished spiritual traditions, including the Judeo-Christian traditions, they talk to us about a way of being that literally alleviates much of the suffering that comes from our time in history. And our own science now is bearing out the principles. Where things got a little muddled is that religions came along and power structures came along, and they embraced these ancient perspectives, and they made rules and regulations and made religions out of them and distorted the message to some degree. And I'm not saying that's, you know, that it's necessarily a bad thing that's happened. It's just not the original message. So when we go back in time and we cut through all of the distortions and we go back to the original message and the original traditions, what we find is there's a great commonality that ranges from the Buddhist to the Judeo-Christian to the indigenous traditions, the aboriginal traditions, as well as those of the great scientists and philosophers ranging from Greece to Egypt. The bottom line is that we're living a rare moment in the history of our planet and the history of our species. It's a window of opportunity that allows us to do a reality check of the way we've lived our lives in the past and to make the course corrections and the changes for our future. And rather than this being the end of time, as many people are suggesting, there's some very frightening scenarios that we're hearing in the world, in the media, in the press. It's not the end of time, it's the end of a cycle. And the end of every cycle is the beginning of what comes next. And it is that rare window of opportunity between the two that brings the work that Bruce and I are sharing, I think, to bear upon the conditions of our world today. And it's what makes it so exciting, because it's all right now. This isn't about something that's going to happen, or it's not about theories and possibilities. This is about the science that now is revealing a direct connection between us and our world at a time when we're faced with the greatest challenges that invite us to change the way we've been in the world. I can't help but think that it's no accident that all of these things are converging right now, this time in history, and we're going to be in Santa Cruz to talk about all these things.
A growing body of evidence suggests that the universe, our world, and our bodies work like a cosmic consciousness computer. And in this model, what is the language that programs the universe?
Taz, there is a growing number of mainstream scientists. These aren't retired physicists sitting on a park bench feeding the pigeons looking for the next great idea. These are mainstream academic teachers and scholars who are now looking at the evidence, and the evidence suggests that the universe itself, our bodies, our world, work in a way that's very similar to the way the computers on our desktop or our laptops work. And the reason they're saying this is because for the computers on our desk and our laptops, there's a code that the machines use to get things done. And when that code changes, what the computers do seems to change. The same thing appears to happen in our bodies and our world. There's a code that triggers a process that sets into motion and gives the momentum to the processes that make our bodies and our world as it is. And when we change that code, we change those processes. So the healing of our bodies, the strength of our immune system, the peace between nations, the quality of our relationships, as different as those all sound from one another, they're all based on a code that we trigger personally within our bodies, and it's done through a heart-based experience that we call feeling and emotion and belief. When we change the way we feel and what we believe about our world, there are direct measurable changes that the world around us mirrors back to us based on those changes.
Great.
This is where science and spirituality are coming together in a really beautiful way. Yeah. Science gives us the mechanism. Our own scientists are telling us now, if you change either the electrical or the magnetic field of the stuff our world is made of, then you'll change that stuff. That's our own science telling us that. Heart is designed to do both. It is the strongest generator of electrical and magnetic fields. And when we change the way we feel about our bodies and our world, we are literally changing the patterns that interact with the world around us. And the key is to hone in on the very precise quality of those feelings and emotions and beliefs. And to the Western world, this is a mystery. Because what I've found in the last 26 years of doing these programs, Taz, that many people in the Western world are still struggling to understand the difference between an emotion and a feeling, or how they know when their thought is actually making decisions, or when what's called their heart intelligence, where their feelings are making those decisions. And although we think we may know about these, when we actually go through some of the exercises that were designed to help us discern these differences, what we find is we're all learning. This is uncharted territory for the Western mind, and we're all learning about this together.
You know, so,
and I'm going to apologize also. I'm getting a bounce back.
Oh, okay.
On my phone, and if I have just, I'm hearing an echo of myself that I'm competing with.
Uh-oh.
And if I'm speaking over you at any time, I just want to acknowledge that it was intentional, and I apologize.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to just share with you, over this last week where I work, there was a man who called in, and he said that he was amazed that when he went back in to have the physician look at his heart through surgery, they found that he had the main artery shut down, but another one had opened up, and they were just amazed that this would happen, that he had the capability of altering his body to that degree.
Well, for our listeners, and I believe if you're listening to this broadcast, you're probably in the Santa Cruz, San Jose listening area, and you are probably aware, if you're hearing this program, that right in your own backyard, one of the world's premier institutions for exploring the principles that we're talking about right now, the Heart Math Institute, world headquarters, is based right there in your own backyard. I've known the people that founded this organization since 1991. They are an amazing group of people from many different walks of life, from the university, the academic environment, from engineering, corporate, scientific environment, from the kinds of people that can really relate public relations and carry new ideas out into the world. They've all left their respective professions, come together in this this premier research organization to pool their talents and help us to understand the true power of the human heart. And one of the things they're finding, Taz, is, you know, we all know that our hearts pump blood to our bodies. And many of us believe that's the main thing that our hearts do. Well, what the research is showing at the Institute of Heart Math is that that may be the least of what our hearts do. You can build a machine to pump that blood, but our hearts are so linked into the fields that connect all life and our planet together. Our hearts have their own brain-like tissue, their own neural tissue that has its own memory, and there is what is called heart intelligence that now is becoming a buzzword in the mainstream audiences that show that our hearts do much more than simply pump blood. Our hearts tune us to the environment, to the world. The way we feel in our heart determines everything from the strength of our immune response, the quality of the hormones in our bodies, how well we think, how well we solve problems, whether or not we are aggressive or peaceful when we solve our problems, how well we're tuned in to the very fields, the magnetic fields of our planet that regulate everything from weather patterns and climate and are even implicated in things like earthquakes, volcanoes. Those very fields overlap the same fields and the same range of frequencies that we create within the human heart. So the science, it all sounds technical in some respects, but the science is telling us, the bottom line, is that our hearts are what tune us to our world in ways that we're only beginning to understand. And the beauty of all of it, Taz, is that we don't have to know any of it. All we're invited to do is to find a way to create the feelings in our hearts that optimize all of these experiences. And it is now termed heart-based living, heart-centered living. But many people I've found when I say that word to them, it implies something about a passive zoning out, a la-la kind of experience in our lives, and nothing could be further from the truth. It's an active focus in the human heart, holding the focus and honing the focus, maintaining a very precise kind of feeling in our hearts to the best of our ability day in and day out. So what the studies are showing us is when we can do that, our immune system is much stronger personally, and that contributes to a collective immune response in our families and communities. We think better. We solve problems better. We're more peaceful when we solve those problems. And when enough people get together collectively and hold these kinds of heart-based experiences, the studies now suggest, and there's a new research project to help bear this out, that we can collectively influence the very fields of our planet that are now implicated in the climate change, the weather patterns, and the peace between nations. In other words, if we can all pool our individual heart experiences into a collective wave, if that wave has a direct influence on the way this planet functions, and all of this is happening right now, the first years of the 21st century, when we're faced with the greatest number of challenges ever recorded in human history, and I can't help but think it's no accident that these things are all happening together.
Greg, we have a caller. Miriam has a question. Just a moment.
Oh, hi, Greg.
I hear your voice, and I didn't catch your name. Can you tell me again, please?
My name is Miriam.
Hey, Miriam. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear you, too. I've heard so many wonderful things about you, and I've seen your DVDs. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Yes, you mentioned that science has ways of measuring all these things about the heart and the power of it. Do they have any instruments that could help us, like training wheels, so we know if we're using the heart energy in the right direction or if we're improving in our heart, using of our hearts?
Well, you could not have asked a better question, and you're about four sentences ahead of where I was going with the next part of our conversation. So, see, this is how well the fields work together.
Yeah, synchronistic.
That's a great question, and I'm going to go right back to the Institute of Heart Math. And I'm just going to be really clear. I'm not an employee of the Institute, but I am on the advisory board for one of their projects that is called the Global Coherence Initiative. And this project is what enables people from all walks of life, across cultures and religions and geography, to all come together from many, many different ways of being to explore and participate in what we're talking about right now. So, Taz, can I explain this this initiative just a little bit? And
of course.
I think by doing that, we'll not only answer the question, but we'll open up the door to a great possibility here.
Okay, go.
Are you okay if we do that?
You bet.
And I have to ask, do we have commercial breaks or anything on our program?
No, we're just straight forth.
Okay, I just want to honor the time if we need to.
Okay.
And I'll say you're listening to Taz and Paula on the Taz and Paula show, okay?
Yes, that's
good. So here's what's happening. In the last few years, since 2001, scientists have discovered that there is a layer of the atmosphere surrounding the Earth that literally pulses in the same range of frequencies used by the human heart to communicate with our brain and our world. Every moment of every day, our heart is sending signals to our brain, and the quality of those signals tell our brain what kind of chemistry to feed into our body. Life-affirming chemistry of a strong immune system and high hormonal balances, or sometimes it's a stress signal that temporarily shuts down that hormonal balance and the immune response so that we can use that energy for what's called fight or flight. So stress response is good for short term. It's not the way you want to live your life as a chronic way of being. So the quality of this signal between the heart and the brain is called coherence. And when the signal is strong between the heart and the brain, we say that we have a high level of coherence between the human heart and the human brain. This is the same coherence in individuals now that is linked to the magnetic fields of our planet. So what it means is when we can maintain, when we can achieve and maintain a certain kind of feeling in our hearts, we're actually tuning ourselves, creating a high coherence between us and the very fields that sustain life on this planet in many ways. So the Institute of Heart Math has embarked upon a very ambitious initiative. It's a science-based, the first science-based initiative of its kind. It is twofold. Number one, they are building sensors and installing them all over the world over a period of time that will enable us to directly measure the fields of the Earth in a way that has never been done before. This is called the Global Coherence Monitoring System. I'll tell you where you can learn more about all this in just a minute. So that monitoring system is, for the first time, giving us the feedback, a direct feedback of what's happening in these fields. The second layer of this project, this initiative, is training many individuals, anyone listening to this program, if you'd like to participate, you can be a part of this project to learn to create this coherence in your heart. And they have software and they have the technology that is available that tells you precisely when you're in the space that creates this coherence. So we no longer have to guess. You know, back in the old days, I know we've all been involved in really beautiful projects where we get an email that would say, you know, at 12 noon on Saturday, everybody focus on peace in the world in the Middle East. And we would do that, and to some degree, I'm sure that there was a benefit from that. The problem with those experiences is that we never knew exactly when we were in the heart space to have to make the difference. We never knew exactly when we were in this coherent space. Well, now all that's changed because through the Institute of Heart Math, they have software you can load on your computer, or they have a personal device about the size of a cell phone that is called an EM wave, M-wave, that you can hook up to your body either through a finger cuff or an ear pulse indicator, and it will tell you precisely when you're in this coherent space. And once you know that, you don't need the gadget anymore. I'm not a big proponent of gadgets. But if they are tools to help us know when we're doing the right things and then maybe understand when we're doing things that don't serve us, we can do less of those things, then I think the tools are good. So this is a long answer to a short question. Is there a way to know when we're in coherence? The answer is yes. To the best of my knowledge, this is the only project of its kind. It's the first science-based initiative to bring millions of people together to inspire them to contribute in a common collective effort of heart-based living to create the fields in our planet that we all benefit from. We all think better, we're more peaceful, we're less aggressive, we're healthier when we're in this coherent space. So the project is called the Global Coherence Initiative. You can go, if you go to my website, gregbraden.com, in the middle of the page, there's a button that will take you directly to the heart math information. There's a little slideshow that will tell you all about this project, how you can participate if you choose, how you can become a member of this project and this initiative if you choose. Or you can go to the Heart Math website in general, HeartMath, HEARTMATH.org, and read about Heart Math in general and then find the place on their site that also takes you to this. But the button on our website will take you directly to this place. So the answer is yes. It's a very exciting initiative. And we'll be talking about this at the Santa Cruz program as well.
Great. That's terrific.
That was a lot of information we covered. What yeah. I'd like to be able to do at the program, we're actually going to have people from HeartMath that will help anyone in the room who would like to experience some of these technologies, and I'll be talking about them in depth, the relationship between the human heart, the magnetic fields of the Earth, cycles of time, the year 2012, beyond 2012, up to 2012, what it means for everything from weather patterns to global economies to war and peace and personal health, because they're all linked through these fields in very exciting, very powerful ways.
Now, are you going to be, is this going to be done on the 26th and 27th, or is it just one day?
Absolutely. Well, the 26th is an evening program. Generally, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, it's generally 7 to 10 p.m.
That's what it is, 7 to 10.
Okay, and what will happen that evening, Bruce and I will each speak individually to lay the foundation, and it's not an introduction and it's not a teaser. I mean, it is a very information-filled, very meaty program Friday evening that allows us to jump right into all of what we're talking about now on Saturday. One of the things I love about co-producing and co-presenting with Bruce Lipton is that he and I work so well together, and it makes sense for us to work together, so we literally dovetail this material by alternating presentations every 60 to 90 minutes. So I believe I begin Saturday morning, and when I'm finished, what I will have done will have now make it easy for Bruce to jump directly into the heart of his presentation without a lot of his preliminaries. And when he finishes, then he will have laid the foundation for me to come right back and tie mine in. And in this way, the audience gets a fresh face on the stage about every 90 minutes or so. And we have the opportunity to dovetail two very different bodies of information in a very powerful way. That gives our audience both the reason and the techniques to recognize how significant our lives are at this time in history, and how much impact we personally and collectively can have on the way this time in history turns out. This is what's so interesting, Taz. When you look into the ancient traditions that talk about the uniqueness of our time in history, the close of a grand cycle of time that began 5,125 years ago. As different as the traditions are, none of them say specifically how our cycle ends, how this time completes. They all say the cycle is coming to a completion. But from the Vedic traditions that we mentioned earlier to the, we were just in Peru 2 weeks ago. We've got brand new information on Peruvian cosmology. The native North American traditions, the rare Egyptian calendar. It's the first of its kind, showing where we are in the zodiac and where this time in history impacts our world. None of these traditions can say with certainty how the cycle ends and what we experience, because they all say that it's determined by an unknown factor. And that factor is us and how we respond to the changes that were presented at this time in history. And that's why this program, I believe, is so powerful, is because we're now sharing what we know so far, that we're in uncharted territory. This is new for everybody. We're all students. We're still learning. This is what we now know, is that there is a way of creating an effect in the human heart that literally affects the physical reality of the very fields of the earth that are creating many of the changes. And to me, that's what makes it so exciting, because it says that this is a time of great opportunity, of great hope. We're not victims of a bad experience, but the changes in our world will push us to change ourselves, and how we make that change is being determined by the choices we make now. And I think it's important to understand that we have choices. Yes. And how to speak the language of the human heart.
It's a good thing we don't have destiny.
Well, I think we do. I think our destiny is to choose.
Yeah, our destiny is to choose, but we can really upgrade being conscious about what's taking place. We have the option to upgrade our codes and our world at the same time. It's tremendous.
This is it's a very exciting program, and it is rare for Bruce and I to be able to share this in the United States. We were on tour last year. We were in Milan earlier this year. Last year we were in Zurich, Frankfurt, Hamburg. We were in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, and rarely do our schedules or the producers invite us to co-present here in the States. So we've taken it upon ourselves to do our own program. This is a mom-and-pop, home-produced program from Bruce and his wife, Margaret. They have a company called Mountain of Love Productions, based right there in Santa Cruz, California. And it's this is their production, and I'm just thrilled to be able to support it and be able to share a couple of days with my dear brother and colleague in brilliant mind and beautiful heart of Bruce Lipton. It's just, I'm really looking forward to this program.
Now, can you just speak briefly regarding the spontaneous healing of belief, the book?
Probably not briefly. No, I can speak as briefly. How brief would you like?
I just want to make sure we get everything in. And with about another 12 minutes or so, I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about that. And
sure. Well, actually, we already have. Because you're so good at what you do, you actually have asked the right questions that encompass all of our books and all of our work, and some of those specifics were on which is actually the newest book, Spontaneous Healing of Belief, Shattering the Paradigm of False Limits.
Yes.
And the book begins with the exploration of some of the leading minds of our time that suggests that the universe works like a big consciousness computer.
Greg, what I would like to ask you, since we've talked about this, in developing this book, were there any surprises?
Not for me, because the book is a result of about 22 years of research and watching the scientific community evolve its understanding of our relationship to the world and our bodies. And as that understanding has evolved, it has come closer and closer to those of our most ancient and cherished spiritual traditions. So while I will have to say there were no surprises, Taz, at the same time, I have to say I was in awe of how well the old ideas and the new ideas now meld together into this powerful worldview, in awe of that synchronicity and of the simplicity.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line, they're all saying that the way we feel in our hearts, and again, this is a very special kind of emotional feeling-based experience. It may be different than what many people have thought of as heart-based experiences in the past. But the studies are all showing that we have this connection, this link with everything from the DNA in our own bodies. Bruce Lipton's work is the pioneering work that laid the foundation for a new science that is now called epigenetics. The bottom line to epigenetics is when you change the environment, you change the way cells and DNA respond to the environment. So Bruce isn't with us today. He's in Europe, so I'm channeling Bruce Lipton now.
Wow, that's exciting.
And I wouldn't presume to speak as Bruce. I'm doing my best to speak on his behalf.
Yeah, we'll try and get Bruce on with us eventually.
So what his work is showing is that our DNA is not a code that is set in stone, that it's a code that can change on the fly in response to changes in what he calls, and the scientists now are calling, the environment. Now, when people hear about environment, we think about the weather and temperature and climate and all that. That's important, but part of the environment is the emotions of the human heart. This field of energy is now part of the environment that scientists are saying changes the DNA in the cells within our bodies. So it suggests that we are not victims and we are not limited by the code that brings us into this world. The DNA of our parents, that was the code that gets us started. It's like the factory preset that gets us going, and we can either stay with those settings for the rest of our lives, or we can recognize that as we change the way we perceive our world, we literally can reflect those changes in our bodies. And there are case history after case history, both Bruce and I will share these, of people transcending the medical and the health challenges as well as the physical realities that pose the problem in ways, Taz, that sound like miracles. And they're only miracles until we understand the mechanism. Once we understand this link this powerful link between heart-based experience, DNA, and the atoms of our physical world, then maybe there are fewer miracles and more about a technology, a powerful inner technology that allows us to transcend the greatest challenges of our time, to heal the perceptions of being a victim from the past. I just can't think of a more exciting thing to learn, a better way to spend the weekend.
I know.
Because it changes everything that we're being programmed to believe by our media, by many religious organizations, by many of the well-intentioned but frightened people in our communities and our families. We are now actually entered in 1980 through the year 2016. We are in this rare window of opportunity when we literally can rewrite the code of our bodies, the code of our future. And it's all done by a shift in the way we see ourselves in the world. And now we have the reasons to make that shift. And that's what Bruce and I are sharing.
It can't get better than that.
Hopefully not.
I heard somewhere where you or Bruce said more energy comes out of the heart than the brain. Is that the case?
I want to clarify what that is.
Okay.
Our world is made of electrical and magnetic fields, electromagnetic energy. I think we've all heard that. And historically, people have said, well, you know, that's where the action is in the brain. It's true that our brain creates a subtle electrical field and a subtle magnetic field. That's very true. Our heart is 100 times stronger than our brain electrically and 5,000 times stronger than our brain magnetically. And this is why it's easier to feel our way into success, into healthy relationships, and into healing than think our way through it, because the brain simply isn't set up to change the physical reality the way the heart is. The brain begins the process, and the heart is like the amplifier that picks up those relatively weak signals from the brain and amplifies them into our world. We can think of it that way.
My gosh.
And you'll see all this. This is part of what I'll be doing on the first evening of our program. That's a key component. You can see exactly why it works, how it doesn't work, and that tells us more of the things to do to help, and the things that we've done in the past that didn't work, then we don't have to put energy into them any longer.
Greg, we've got about maybe 4.5 minutes. Is there something that you want to share with us before?
First, that was a very fast hour.
It was tremendous.
I think the message of this program, we'd love to see you, if you're listening to this, we'd love to see you at this program. If for some reason you're not there, what I'd like to leave our listeners with now is that every one of us, every human on the face of the earth, from the moment of our first breath, is born speaking the language of change that allows us to change our bodies and to change our world if we understand that language. And I think it's no accident that it is now at the close of a great mysterious cycle of time that began over 5,000 years ago and ends in December of 2012. It's now during this window of time that we're recognizing that we have this language of change within us. And the conditions of the world are now forcing us to embrace the possibilities of what this change can mean in our lives. And it's all happening within this brief window of time that our ancestors for 5,000 years predicted, prophesied, some feared, some embraced, some welcomed. And they all did their best to let us know that that's the significance of our time in history. So the program, again, it's a multimedia program. We'll be going into the monasteries of Tibet, the monasteries of Egypt, illustrated scientific experiments. I love working with Bruce. He is so much fun to work. He's got a great sense of humor. I laugh more listening to him and his lecture. And I feel really good about myself and biology when he's done. So
that's fantastic. Okay, so you're going to be at the Gateway bookstore in Santa Cruz.
No, that is where we go for the ticket sales.
Oh, that's where you go for the ticket sales.
Ticket sales is Gateways Books in Santa Cruz, and the phone number is 831-429-9600. Mm-hmm. They have recently changed the venue of where the actual program is going to be. I have 5630 Soquel Drive. But I would invite people just to check with Gateway's books, because I know that there was a change to a bigger venue so that we can have all of the multimedia things that we're going to have there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, again, Awakening the Power of Consciousness, the Biology of Belief, and the Science of Miracles. And just briefly here, you have a DVD, The Science of Miracles, out. It's a new one, is that correct?
It is. It's the most recent video representation of many of the things that we've talked about. It's set up in chapters. It's an illustrated science, illustrated interviews. There's some candid interviews from the Omega Institute as bonus footage on there. It's it is now distributed by Hay House, as well as the other organizations that are carrying it. And it has come out only in this last year, so it's the newest DVD that we have available of the work I'm doing right now.
Awesome. Greg, Paula, and I really look forward to seeing you this weekend. Thank you for sharing your time with us. I know that you just came off of travel and the minuscule time you have to continue with your own book writing is amazing what you do.
Well, I'm back to editing and writing right this very minute, so it's good to hear your voice. And please say hello to us at the program, and we'd like to share you with the audience that comes so they can see the face that goes with the voice they hear on the airwaves every week.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Okay, God bless. I'm going to say God bless our listeners. Thank you.
Yes, God bless.